Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host for this evening of live music. I just love presenting live music because I think it's something that we're kind of missing in this world, and I hope we get back to it. My special guest is a man I have a lot in common with, some of which I've just discovered tonight, Gus Amadorn.
How you doing?
And what we had in common, other than being musicians, is we both have written for the Westchester monthly newspaper, More Sugar.
That's correct. If I recall correctly, way back in 99, 2000, I did a column. I ranted about everything, basically. I did reviews on CDs, observation of what was going on in, Westchester County, and so on and so forth.
And what was the name of it? Come on, now it's
funny. I used to call myself the Rockin' Rican for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, I would assume you're Puerto Rican.
Yes, I am.
Okay. That's interesting. And we both discussed our philosophy, which I'm glad to espouse on TV. I'm glad to receive things from people, but I only review stuff I really like. And
sure.
That puts me in the situation of only writing very positive, glowing reviews. People say, why are your reviews always positive? That's because only I review what I really like.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you really have to be careful with the material that's sent in to you because you don't want to offend anyone. But then again, you want to present the best product out there to the public who read the paper, the More Sugar paper. So, I did the best I could. A couple of times I put my foot in my mouth and I got smacked around by the artist.
Or you said something negative?
Well, you know, that's the way life is. It's not all peaches and cream. You know, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah. Interesting about More Sugar. I played a gig a couple of weeks ago and this woman came up to me and she pulled out the ad I had in More Sugar. Mm-hmm. Say, see this? This must be you. I came to see you. I ripped it out of More Sugar.
That's awesome.
So somewhere...
somebody's reading it.
Yeah. But Gus, an interesting thing is I've heard your music, and you're a rocker, basically.
Basically, yeah. How I started off was, my first memory of music was watching the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. I was a little toddler. And I built my own little guitar with a broomstick and some wires, and I just stood in front of the TV and I rocked, you know. But I didn't pick up the guitar till I was about 18 years old. When I was in college, my cousin, who the person that inspired me to play guitar, he tuned it up for me. And to this day, I still have the tape of him tuning up the guitar. So this is like 30 years after the fact. I still have this tape. It's all hissy and everything. But... he loves my stuff. He has a recording studio in Puerto Rico. His name is Andy Mendoza. He does a lot of local artists recordings, and I send him my stuff. He works on it. We go back and forth, and I go into a studio in Brewster with Buck Brundridge at Creative Services, and we worked out the CD that I put out in 2006. But yeah, I'm a rocker. I'm basically more of a punk rocker than anything else that's going acoustic.
You know, maybe we could ask our great camerawoman, Kim, to hand us the CD that we forgot to bring to the table.
Which I should have had here. Just to present.
Right. So that's cool. I want to give a shout out to the people who work religiously on this show. We got Scott on the cameras and behind the window. We got Rita, who's actually in charge of the music. And we got Kim, who just does everything.
Awesome.
And actually, her daughter's getting a softball award tonight.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah!
Yeah!
So let me have that.
Sure.
I'm going to... well, actually, you take it, because I think you're facing the camera.
Oh, okay. Gus Amador, 2 short of 12. It's a weird title for a CD, but I was short 2 songs for 12. Whoop! So, it's got 10 songs, And like I said, it was a collaboration between my cousin in Puerto Rico and Buck Brundrich in Brewster. And it's 10 songs out of my close to 300 songs that I've written over the years.
Well, you know, it's funny. You probably grew up around the same time I did. I mean, it wasn't strange to have a 26-minute album back
in the
60s.
Sure. How about one song 26 minutes long?
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
But no, I mean, basically a group would have a hit, and then the next day the album would be out that they recorded all night.
That's right.
So that's interesting, Too Short of 12. Country albums had always had like 9 songs, 10 songs, mm-hmm. but now with the CDs, there's so much physical room on the disc that they can put more on it.
Sure.
In the old days, I think it was over 45 minutes on an LP, the sound disintegrated.
Yeah, but still, you know, I still love LPs. I have a nice collection of home of LPs, and every once in a while I just throw it on my turntable. The sound quality, I guess, since I'm old school, I it's so bright for me compared to CDs. You know, it's there's something behind vinyl that snap, crackle, pop that you hear sometimes.
I'm just thinking that.
You know, it's like pop, pop. Oh, yeah, that's the end of the song. Well, that's the end of the album. You know, time to lift up the arm.
Well, you know, it's just so funny because I always remember I got this LP, Volunteers by Jefferson Airplane, mm-hmm. and I took it out of the sleeve and dropped it and cracked the first track off.
Oh, no way. That's terrible.
So it was terrible. Good Shepherd, and I always remember I got like 1 minute of it, you know, if you carefully place the needle. But, so what do you got to play for us today, Gus?
The first song I'm going to play is...
grab that guitar.
Let me grab this tack of mine. It's called That's the Way.
That's the Way,
It's a little mellow song. It's an observational song.
Let's get a clean start.
One, two, three, four. Guitar, some broken chords, wrote a few songs, went on an open mic tour. Not what he expected, but what the heck. At least this time around, people are listening. They criticize, they give their point of view. That's okay. That's the way it should be, so I've been told since I was young, since I was young, since I was young. Piling up, can't make ends meet, but you won't give up, even though your job's in jeopardy. Your rent is always late, but you just don't care, 'cause you know things will get better. That's right, that's the way it should be, so I've been told since I was young, since I was young, since I was young. You find yourself a girl, you fall in love, one day you'll marry her. All your friends say you make a perfect team, represent some kind of American dream. since I was young. Since I was young. I remember everything you said to me. I'm gonna set you free. I remember everything you said to me. You said to me. Since I was young. Since I was young. Since I was young.
Deep. We'll talk about that one later. Talk about that. Nice. What else you got?
This is one off my CD. It's the second cut. It's called It's Okay, It's All Right. A lot of people like this song for some reason. I have no idea why. It's a sing-along.
Well, let's see.
It's all right. That's what I always say. The best thing in life is that tomorrow is a brand new day. Well, you think you're in love, but that's a concept you can't grasp. It doesn't make sense at all when you gather up all the facts. Open up your eyes. Ooh. Ooh. It's better to burn out than fade away. That's what Neil Young would say. Hey, hey, my rock and roll will never die. Nothing stays the same, so why waste your time in trying to find a meaning? And when you read the Sunday Times, the headlines hypnotize. Open up your eyes. Everybody now. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, give us another one.
You want another one? Okay. Well, this next one is, it's called The Last Time, and the reason I wrote it is my dear cousin passed away last year. I grew up an only child, and I consider her my sister. And she came to visit me last year, last legs, you know, of her presence in this planet. We hung out for about a week. I kissed her goodbye at the airport, and that was the last time I saw her. At least I was able to say goodbye to her. But she had a lot of anger inside her soul. So I'm getting the chills just telling the story. So I, after she left, I wrote this song. It's called The Last Time. Thank you. Spencer, have no clue. You need to figure it out for yourself. Take all the chances you never did. Cause each day that passes doesn't exist. Yeah.
With that woman?
Yeah. It was actually the three of us, my cousin, the other cousin that lives in Puerto Rico now. We all were born and raised in New York, and we used to hang out together when we were kids. And like I said, I was an only child. She was an only child. My other cousin was not. So, but to this day, you know, even to this day, we're like brothers, and even though we were cousins, you know. But, you know, one down and two of us left.
You continue to write songs.
Yes.
Why?
It's more of a therapy for me than anything else. I do a lot of observation. And when I write, I need to express my feelings to the world to let them know what I see, my point of view, which, you know, some people might think, they might think it's a little nutty, but. But I, you know, it's okay. And a lot of people can relate to what I'm writing.
Where can people hear you play in the tri-state area?
Well, locally, I've been doing local coffee houses. You can go to myspace.com/GusAmador for updates. This past weekend, I did the Make Music New York Music Festival, which is done every year in New York City, all over the place. I actually played in one of my old neighborhoods in Inwood, New York.
Oh,
in the pouring rain with a canopy over it. It was really fun. And last year I played in another neighborhood that I hung out to, was in the Bronx near Lehman College, and I saw some old friends, and they're like, "You still doing this?" I said, "Well, I can't get it out of my system. What do you want from me? You know, it's part of my soul." like you asked, I do a lot of the coffee houses in the area. Black Cat Cafe at Irvington was one of the places I played. I played at the Coffee Labs in Tarrytown. The Circle of Friends in Pleasantville, which is an excellent open mic every month. They're in hiatus right now. But there are a lot of talented people out there that go to this open mic. And it's, you know, they record it, they put it online, and it's a great source of inspiration for myself. Because I need to present a new song to them every time I go up there, even though I don't have to, because I have so many songs written over the years, but I feel that I have to write something specially for these people when I go and perform.
Well, let's give a shout out to our mutual friend Pete Hopp.
That's right. Petey Hopp is the one that recommended that to get in touch with you, and I do appreciate that, Pete.
You play at his open mic Monday nights at Lucy's in Pleasantville.
Yes, I've done that a couple of times. I haven't done it lately, but I will get back there, Pete, I promise you.
Cool. So we're going to go to the feature that we do every week. Mm-hmm. We talk about, do you have an iPod?
I have an iPod. It has over 30 days of music in it.
Well, forget that.
It's too vast.
If you went to a desert island, which two or three CDs would you have?
It would have to be CDs because I can't bring my vinyl with me. But I would say one of them would be the Beatles' Rubber Soul. For some reason, to this day, that album is inspired me to become a songwriter. There's a group called The Jam.
I remember the Jam.
Very influential band for me in the 80s when I played in my band.
Three-piece out of England,
and to this day I still follow Paul Weller. He was the lead singer and writer, and the last one would be anything by Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird. Somehow I came into a possession of an x-ray of one of his hands.
Really?
My dad.
There were huge hands, let me
tell
you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I have tiny hands. His hand was like out to here.
I know.
So, you know.
I'm a big Jimi Hendrix. I try to find everything on Jimi. I have a vast collection of Jimi Hendrix videos, DVDs, albums, CDs, bootlegs. You know, it's something about the guy that always, you know, I'm not a great lead guitar player, never was, never will. I don't have the patience to sit there and practice 6-7 hours a day like some people do. But I get by. But he inspired me to do my best when I play lead.
You're on the solo circuit now, but you used to play with a band.
I used to play, the last band I played with was back in 98, of all things, a long time ago. A bunch of us got together, friends. I used to live in Carmel back then. We were called Ocean in a Cup. The bass player decided to call us Ocean in a Cup, and to this day I have no idea what it means. We did the bar scene.
Originals, covers.
I'm not the type of person that likes doing cover songs, but we had to play in the bars. But it was more 60-40, originals to covers.
Sure.
And we didn't last that long. It was about a year or so, but it was fun. We put together a little CD, which I still have copies of at home. Very rough recordings, you know, but it was fun. Before that, I played in my very first band. That I played was in the 80s with Mike Ferrigno on bass, a good friend of mine. We still stay in touch. And Tony Damiano on drums. This guy was an animal on drums. He reminded me of Keith Moon, the way he played drums. And Mike used to play the bass like a lead player playing guitar.
Sounds like The Who.
Yeah, and I was a lousy guitar player back then, so he really backed me up real... we put together a DIY CD, a cassette back then. Again, I still have copies of that. I listen to it once in a while. I'm like, God, do we play fast? Well, our first gig was at CBGB's. Oh. And we were supposed to play for an hour. We did the whole set in 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, now what? Good night. And after that, the next band was... my first band broke up. I played... with another band called The Rave in the Bronx. Lee Nelson on drums, Fred Pasquarelli on bass, excellent guitar player and vocalist, bass player too, and John Ford on guitar, fantastic guitar player. Freddie, I still keep in touch. I drag him out of his house every once in a while to open up for me when I do perform, because, you know, I like to help other people. When I go out, I say, you know, I tell them, you open up for me, we'll split the pot, whatever it is. You know, I the money doesn't mean anything to me. It's not my, you know, it's not my thing. I just want to help other people go out there and show their craft.
Talk about this Takamine guitar.
This is the most expensive guitar that I've ever bought in my life. I paid $800 on sale 2 years ago. I was one of those guys, they always used to buy the $200, $300 guitar because I liked the way they sounded. And I had a bad habit of buying black enamel, I guess enamel, is it? Or whatever it was.
Black finish.
Black finish, and I couldn't get the sound that I wanted. And I came across this Takamine at Sam Ash right here in White Plains by accident. I just went there to look around, and I picked it up, and I said, wow, I got to get this guitar. And, of course, they had no interest or payments for 12 months, which helped a lot. it's a nice guitar. It's got a good sound to it. It's weather doesn't really affect it that much.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really sturdy. I beat the hell out of it because when I play live, I beat the hell out of my guitars. And it's got a built-in EQ and a tuner, which is the greatest invention known to a musician. A built-in tuner in your guitar.
No pick guard.
No pick guard. No, you can tell it's like fading over here, which is okay with me. I don't want to get a hold of anything there like Willie Nelson.
Yeah, his guitar looks like it's...
Oh, man, he's beat the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, but you see, the thing with Willie is he plays it and he has a unique sound.
He's got his own sound, yeah. And I watch him play and I'm like, what the hell is he doing? You know, but that's him. That's his style.
Well, Gus, thank you so much for coming down.
It's been a pleasure.
And so we're about to end part one.
Okay.
But we got part two coming up in a few.
Thank you. All right.